The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Wednesday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. It means Man in Line, open line through till 1 today. Get on the air by calling 66 13 68 to have your say. Email studio@manxradio.com. Text and WhatsApp on 166 177. Well, you've heard these allegations surrounding unexpected deaths and patient safety at Nobles Hospital brought into sharp focus. Julie Edge, MHK, posed a question in Keys. If you have any serious concerns about medical treatment received in hospital, what is the best way to raise them? Social media obviously can spark public debate. It also feeds into the wider, more complex issue of whistleblowing and how those with legitimate concerns can speak up without fear of repercussions. It's a big, big issue. And if you have anything to throw into the pot, then by all means, do get in touch. Well, 50-odd people gathered at Woodburn House in Douglas recently at that public meeting regarding plans for the Moor Vanning project. Proposals by Ørsted to build 87 turbines off the east coast of the Isle of Man. I just wonder whether you were there and you have anything to report. The majority of residents that gave their representations were from Garth, where the wind farm, if approved, will be most visible. And obviously that's where everybody has a concern. One of Garth commissioners had his say, Richard Henthorne.
I was there to represent the views of the people that we collected during our meeting late last year at the Institute. There are more concerns have come up since we began to learn about this particular application. And we've much more to worry about now, including how the actual energy prices will affect the Isle of Man and possibly not positively. But from the point of view of the visual aspect, it really is going to absolutely be really detrimental and quite violent for the Garth area. I mean, it's the whole, really, the east coast of the island, but Garth is the closest community to it. And these things are 1,000 feet high. That's the highest they've ever made. They haven't even manufactured them yet, because they're a new concept, and they're going to be 6 miles off our coast, and there's going to be 87 on them, and they're going to blink with little red lights on at night, and it's going to be a real violent change for the community and their unspoiled sea aspects. I did want to talk a little bit about the fairness of the process, and I didn't actually get time because you only get an allotted time, and I just wanted to say that Moore Vanning had been heavily promoted their proposal, both in sponsorship of events over the island over the past couple of years, and I believe that that's created a one-sided view, and that the proposal has already gained planning approval in people's minds, and most of the people on the island, the Garth residents in particular, will not feel they'll get a chance to speak to their prospective candidate MHK, who will be canvassing on the doorstep for election in the next few months. And you know, I just want the panel to know that one of our MHKs can't even comment on this subject because she's a minister, and therefore she might come into conflict. And I find that deeply, deeply worrying. And really wanted to finally just ask the panel if they can find out from Moore Vanning if this proposal is going to lead to cheaper electricity on the island or more expensive electricity on the island.
Garth Commissioner Richard Henthorne talking about that gathering at Woodburn House. Were you there? What are your thoughts? He mentioned violent change, and intimated that it's been one-sided, really, at the moment. Well, unfortunately, Ørsted won't talk. While ever there's a planning inquiry going on, then Ørsted have taken the decision not to say anything because they don't want to prejudice, as it were. So that's an honourable position that they're taking. So we don't actually hear from them. you probably gather that they obviously want them. They want the wind farm. They want the revenue that's going to come from it. And they want to build these 1,000-foot wind turbines. Julian's with us now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. It's beautiful. Have you noticed the daffodils are just perfect at the moment? It's like the island is just a wonderful canvas at the moment, isn't it?
And the crocuses and the snowdrops.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's absolutely beautiful. Just before I talk about more vanning, something that I didn't mention yesterday, I think it's when we got cut off, something else that's empirically true, those DNR notices, the GP for those people did not know about it. It is not on the GP record, even though they've been issued by the hospital, which is interesting.
Do you know that for an is that for an absolute fact?
100% true. Which I find interesting is there two systems going on then. Surely the GP should know that there's a DNR notice on someone.
You would
find that amazing.
Well, you would have thought so. You would have thought the left hand would speak to the right hand. I don't know whether you heard yesterday, but we had a message in from a lady whose husband had a DNR and didn't even remember signing it.
No, that's right. And I'm seeing this quite a bit, at least three. So, and I've seen it firsthand, so I know what I'm saying is absolutely true. The public meetings taking place regarding the proposed Moore Vanning offshore wind farm. I've got a couple of points to make on this. One of the first ones is the comparison, the scale of the impact on us compared to the UK. So at the moment, the UK has got 50 offshore wind farms, but the seabed area is huge around the UK. So from an invasiveness perspective, the UK offshore wind farms, they occupy about 0.5% of the UK territorial waters. But Moore Vanning is going to be roughly 104 times more invasive based on our territorial sea area, because you've got 50 in the UK around, dotted around in a much larger seabed area. Not forgetting that this will be impacting just one community, namely the people of the Isle of Man. And even if somebody's not living on that side of the island, a lot of people like to go around and go to Laxey for an ice cream and go up to Ramsey, etc. So one community is going to be massively affected by a wind farm that's going to be 104 times more invasive than any individual wind farm, because in the UK you've got to divide by 50, because there's 50 of them occupying a much smaller percentage of the sea area for that territory.
I remember last time there were some meetings and the Orsted Roadshow. You went along and they had a virtual reality headset. So can you recall in that virtual reality headset what was the kind of perspective? Because we won't know until these things are built what they're actually going to look like, because nothing's been built like it before.
Well, you've actually brought me to my second point. The enormous size of these turbines so close to the island compared to what happens in the UK with their offshore turbines. The current largest offshore wind turbines are located about 75 miles offshore, and that's like Hornsea 3 off East Anglia and 100 miles away for the Dogger Bank one, which is on the way to Holland and Denmark. But the proposed Moore Vanning wind farms, the turbines, they're going to have a 77% larger swept area, and they're about 35% taller than those huge ones that the UK only tolerates when they're at least 75 miles away from the shore. So I really don't think that virtual, you know, either you've got the digital artist impression from Orsted, or you've got the goggles. I don't think they're going to bear any resemblance to what, and they're not 1,000 feet, Andy, they're 1,200 feet, so they're 200 foot higher than 1,000, and they're going to sweep an area of 741,000 square feet each, and they're only going to be 6 to 10 miles away, and there's going to be 87 of them. Now, if you compare that with Walney, so I've been to Walney Island. These ones for the Isle of Man are going to be 7.5 times larger swept area than the ones that, if you go to Walney Island and look at the ones that are 6, 7, 10 miles away, they're 7.5 times smaller. And if somebody wants to compare this with something on the island, Laxey Wheel each of these turbines is going to be 180 times bigger in swept area than Laxey Wheel. So imagine Laxey Wheel inflated 180 times. That's going to give you an idea of just how big these things are, and there's going to be 87 of them. But what my point is, the UK doesn't tolerate these huge, I mean, these things are massive, 77% larger than the biggest ones available, and those ones are kept at least 75 miles away from shore.
Yeah.
And we're going to have them right on the doorstep. So are we some kind of test bed to see if people will put up with something that is massive? I mean, you know, 7.5 times bigger than the ones off Walney.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think some of them are a little bit closer. I think I've seen the ones off Great Yarmouth, and they're about 30 miles offshore Great Yarmouth.
But they're smaller, much smaller.
That's true. Yes, they are smaller.
Yeah. And the last point I was going to make, which is based on what we said yesterday about infrasound, there was an interesting study that was done in February 2014 at Laguna Pueblo at the Red Mesa Wind Farm. That's an onshore one. And they were studying, they actually were, it was kind of a fortunate accident. They were looking at how to work out how the atmosphere moves around. And they used the infrasound from a set of 60 wind turbines. It's much smaller than the ones at Morvanin. They're much, much smaller. They were detecting infrasound at 56 miles. So if you think about Morvanin, if you take the southern part of it, so that's towards the opposite Laxey, that's only going to be 14 miles from Douglas.
Why do you think, and, Julian, why do you think they've chosen to put these huge behemoth, these huge giant turbines that there's never been any like it before? Why are we the experiment?
Yeah, because the ones that I'm talking about are 12 times the distance away. I mean, you know, 70 miles away is further than Liverpool,
yeah,
in reality, isn't it?
But you would have thought that Orsted, they're clever people. They know what they've been in this business for a long time. Surely they knew that putting these huge turbines so close to the Isle of Man would create opposition. Why not just put smaller ones there?
I don't know. I think because we don't really have experience of this, I think they're just giving these ideas as to, oh yeah, it'll be great and da-da. But I don't think people realise what this thing's going to look like. They are going to be enormous, 180 times the size of Laxey Wheel, 7.5 times bigger than the ones at Walney. I mean, you're talking absolutely enormous, and the UK doesn't tolerate it. They shove them out, way out. I mean, to be honest, if it's 70 miles, 75 miles away, that's quite a long way outside of our territorial waters, isn't it, Andy? So, you know, it's 12 miles, isn't it, that we have our area. So these things are going to look absolutely crazy big.
And still, Richard Henthorne, the Gulf Commissioner, posed the question, is this going to mean cheaper electricity? Or what? You know, what's the price? Surely somebody somewhere is going to know how much we're going to have to pay for electricity by if we put this stuff in our back garden.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, would you buy a car on the basis that you're not going to be told what the miles per gallon is? You're not going to be told how much it's going to cost you. Not going to tell you what it looks like. You know, would you buy a car on the same basis? I don't think you would.
But surely, Julian, somebody somewhere must know.
Probably, but I think, you know, even if you if somebody has the argument that you don't have a right to a view, these things are. The UK wouldn't tolerate this size so close. I mean, 7.5 times bigger than Walney and more than 30% taller. I mean, who in their right mind would want these things so close? You know, compared to the UK.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
All right.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy.
All right. 20 past 12. And you also heard Richard Henthorne, the Gulf Commissioner, saying if there are that many, 87 turbines, and at night they're going to have these blinking red lights on the top. Blinking as in they will blink. So what's that going to do to our dark skies? These things are 6 miles, very close anyway, off our coast. Surely you'll see 87 blinking red lights at night. It'll look like a disco, won't it? Eddie's with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right.
I've forgotten. What was your view on wind turbines?
Well, funny enough, I was going to mention something else today, but it's been brought up.
Okay.
But just listening to your conversation with Julian there, you asked a couple of questions. One was, I wonder why they want to put them here. And I think Wilf answered that one by saying it's shallow water, less cost. What was the other thing? And then you said something else, but I did point out quite a while ago that there was an Indian guy who's a multi-billionaire who's up on charges of fraud and corruption and everything, all to do with wind energy and solar energy. So, you know, the reasons why they want to sell us are a little bit suspect, and I think it was because you were talking about the cost. The reason why they won't tell you how much it's going to cost you for the electricity is because they'll hit you with it once it's up. And the other thing is that's been brought to light quite recently is the lifespan of them. It's getting shorter and shorter somehow.
Well, I think we know, Eddie, we know the reason that Ørsted want to put a wind farm off the Isle of Man. They want to make some money out of it. Everybody, you know, that's the main reason. They're not doing it for charity. They're not doing it out of an academic exercise. It's a big... And it will be, obviously, a footprint for the future.
Yeah, but they're trying to pull the wool over the Manx people's eyes, but it won't work. There's no way the Manx people are going to accept all these. Once they understand the reality, and most people do, it's a lot of nonsense when they say, they gather a lot of momentum, and then you've got John in Ramsey there, and I'm sure he's got shares in the damn place. But my two points that I wanted to bring up today, it had nothing to do with it, but it's quite relevant now it's happened. One is, did you notice that both of these things have been in the news lately? One is that down the south of England, the geothermal unit is now operating.
Oh, that one in Truro in Cornwall.
That's right, but they drilled down 3 miles to get to the source. Everything, that, according to them at the moment, was exactly what they had planned and everything. The technology worked. They are now up and running. I think that I know we're not going to go ahead with any wind turbine on the Isle of Man. I ask people, and they'll be up in arms if they even think of doing it. But we should hold back anyway and have a look how this runs and see what the costs are. And how many times have I said, let's look at alternatives to the stupid one? And the other thing that I've noticed recently, there was a programme on the other night, I don't know whether you saw it, about AI and automatic cars, driverless cars.
Right.
Did you see the programme on it
no,
at all?
But no, but I'm aware of the scheme.
Well, what really struck me was the amount of deaths where the cars have gone wrong, and yet they're still carrying on with it. And London, I think, are actually thinking of trying to make it as many driverless vehicles as possible.
Yeah.
But I watched some of the things on the pro. You'd have to watch it yourself. Look it up on iPlayer. But the amount of people that have been killed by cars driverless just run straight into them and things like that, you know. Just my whole point of bringing that one up is that I think I mentioned about a year ago that the biggest companies in the world are the ones who have invested billions of pounds for all this technology. They want the money back, so they're forcing the damn things on us. That's why they are, I don't want to say anything like, just a suggestion here, is like the Indian guy, he's on charges of corruption because he was selling all this technology to governments fraudulently. Right. Now, he's on charges. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, that's nothing to do with us. And the fact is that, obviously...
Yeah, but we all know this happens, though, Andy, don't we? We know it happens. It's all over the world. It's a very greedy world at the moment. And they're all trying to get the money back. And I think Orsted is another one.
Oh, well, that's your opinion anyway, Eddie. But obviously, we're not here to suggest that anything untoward has happened, and certainly regarding provision of information and what have you. Thanks, Eddie. Good to hear from you. Orsted have always been very fine with us, but completely above board. But I think we have to accept it's a business. I mentioned before, this is an industrial revolution, and everybody's in business. The wind turbine people are in business. The geothermal people are in business. The fossil fuel people are in business. The wave power people are in business. Everybody's in business, and we have to treat it in that way. Nobody's doing this for the benefit of their health. I mean, obviously, people will talk about the green credentials, and there may be a certain amount of greenwashing. Anyway, just talking about this geothermal, which we've mentioned, crikey, how long is it ago we talked about it on Man and Line? 3-4 years. The UK's first geothermal power plant's been turned on, providing a new type of renewable electricity using hot water from underground. Sound familiar? Last Thursday, the Cornish plant near Truro was switched on after nearly 2 decades, 20 years in development. Now, bear that in mind, 20 years in development, which required Geothermal Engineering Limited to drill the deepest onshore well in the UK. The water, superheated by rocks, will help drive turbines to generate electricity for 10,000 homes. So it's small scale. It's also going to provide the UK's first domestic supply of lithium, which is obviously a critical mineral used in green technology. The British Geological Survey said it's a major step forward for geothermal, but high drilling costs could make replicating the project difficult. Mark's with us now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. I just want to just continue on the point that Julian, your last caller, sort of raised, and with regards to lack of transparency with Orsted and the information that's being released to the general public, and also our old Tim Wald. And just to, I'd just like to remind all the listeners that Jason Morehouse requested that all MHK should have sight of the Orsted agreement with the DOI. The then previous minister of the DOI, Michelle Haywood, asked Orsted whether this would be allowed, and Orsted refused. Jason Morehouse then went on to say, which is normal practice, I understand, is that could we not have the Orsted agreement in the library or document room, and it won't be distributed electronically, and members of all MHKs go in and view it. And that was refused as well. Now, Orsted have cited that it's an agreement between themselves and the DOI. What I'm fearful of, and touching what Julian said, is that because we have a lack of experience on the island, that they are pushing through non-normal terms and conditions, which is preventing any future oil and gas exploration. Now, Kroger's gone, but any future new exploration, from what I understand, has been prevented by this Orsted agreement, because it makes any future oil and gas exploration company responsible for all costs and consequences, which are not the normal agreement. And that's what I have an issue with. I mean, it's not so much against the wind farm, it's the fact that Orsted, I strongly believe, are not playing on normal terms and conditions. Right. And the fact that they are denying our Tim Wald, our government, and having a look at the document, I think does not bode well. If you think about all the disasters that DOI have had with the sea terminal, which they've had with Lord Street, it goes on and on. And I think all the MHK should have sight of that, because something which is so monumental in changing the Isle of Man scenery, the whole of Tim Wald should be able to look at that agreement.
And do you know for a fact that that's Orsted saying that Tim Wald members can't look at it, or is that...
That is a fact. Michelle Haywood. I listened to the debate, Andy. And Jason Morehouse asked Michelle Haywood, could we cite the Orsted or the Dong agreement as was? And Michelle Haywood stated very clearly that she went to Orsted, he asked Ørsted and Ørsted refused. So find it absolutely disgusting that this is happening. And I think that it wasn't really picked up enough in the news, I don't think, that statement. And it's on Hansard, so anyone can go and have a look at it. I followed the debate very closely. I was horrified when that happened. And I'm very surprised that none of the MHKs have followed up on it any further. So I think we need to understand what's in that agreement. And also the revenue. You know, also being very loose about it, that I went to the government conference when Ørsted were presenting, and we're going to get a percentage of the revenue. So we're not leasing the seabed, we're going to get a percentage of the revenue back. They went out in the press, I think it was, $2 billion over 25 or 30 years, something like that, which is, you know, great, good money. But there's still a lack of transparency, I think, on that agreement. And I think, you know, if they are preventing any future development of the oil and gas field, I think that needs to be clarified, because that's another potential wind farm. Nowhere else in the UK territorial waters would a wind farm have precedent over an oil and gas field, or an oil and gas field have a precedent over a wind farm. It goes to an independent arbitrator, normally the NSTA, and in this particular case, it hasn't happened. So, for whatever reason, I don't know, but I just wanted to highlight that, because when the word honourable in this respect, it's not honourable. There needs to be more transparency in that. But it's in Hansard for anyone to go and listen to.
Okay, do you have confidence in the DOI to handle this?
No. I don't think anyone in the Isle of Man has. I mean, you just look at all the... I think I'd have more confidence if all the MHKs could have a look at the document. There's something in there which is not right. And I don't know what it is, Andy, but it is the fact that we haven't got full visibility and the MHKs haven't got full visibility. It doesn't smell right to me. I'm not sure why, but it just smells a bit off.
Okay. So, yeah. Would you be willing to be proved wrong?
Absolutely. I would love to be proved wrong.
Okay.
But that's in Hansard. So either Michelle Hayward wasn't telling the truth, or what? So Michelle Hayward wasn't telling the truth, what she said in Timwald, or Ørsted have refused for all the MHKs to look at the agreement and put it in the library to allow all MHKs to look at it. That was refused. And Jason Morehouse asked that specific question.
Okay. Mark, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
All right, cheers. Take care.
Okay. One time Treasury Minister was at that meeting, Anne Crane, resident of Garth. Anne Crane, former MHK, MLC, Minister of the Isle of Man, wanted the panel to consider the ancient heritage along that stretch of the eastern coastline. This is Anne Crane.
I think it's important to give them an understanding of the backdrop to which these wind turbines will be placed. And we're looking at so long ago, prehistory, we're talking about Cashtlanard, a really important megalithic site, tomb of Neolithic chieftains and families. And there are so many important aspects to this coastline from Balafail Cairn. We're talking about sites that are 2,000 to 2,500 years before Christ. And I wanted to make sure that there was this bearing that they would grasp, that we're not just talking about erecting these wind turbines in the sea, but that they relate to what's on the land.
So do you have faith that the panel is going to take this into account?
Yes, I think that it will be taken into account. I did point out that if this were to happen at Stonehenge, which is an equivalent site in our terms, would they do that across? I don't believe that they would. Nobody would accept that.
Anne Crane, former Treasury Minister, former member of Timwald. Eddie asked, who's going to pay the bounty for the wind farm once it's finished and done? Well, the proposed Moorvannon offshore wind farm, Ørsted, the people who are developing it, said the project would be privately funded, meaning construction and operation won't be paid for by the Isle of Man taxpayers. They're going to fund everything. According to the company's project information and reported by the media on the Isle of Man, that funding model places the financial responsibility with the developer, Ørsted. They're going to be paying for it. But the project has not yet received final consent. Obviously, under the Isle of Man's marine infrastructure approval process, the developer would have to submit a full decommissioning plan as part of the license, okay? So when they're finished, they've got to take them down. In offshore wind projects, generally regulators require the operator to fund and carry out the removal of turbines and the infrastructure at the end of the project's life. Now, let's face it, you and I will be long gone, but somebody's going to have to take them down, and there will be people living on the Isle of Man at the time. You can't just leave them there. So based on the current proposal, the expectation is that the developer would pay for decommissioning, but the exact legal conditions will only be confirmed if the project is formally approved.
This is the Isle of Man talking, the man in line.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Geoffrey, how do you like this composite door from Spectrum Windows?
Oh, good choice, missus. Stylish and hard-wearing. It'll transform the house.
Trouble is choosing the colour. There's so much choice.
How about red? It goes with your eyes.
Anyone would see red living with you, Geoffrey.
For a huge range of solid composite doors in a great range of colours, including red, visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
The Isle of Man Creamery, famous for the freshest Manx milk, dairy products, Noah Bakehouse treats and more, has now made ordering deliveries even easier. Simply download the Isle of Man Creamery Doorstep Direct app and you're ready to order. Reschedule deliveries, see your order history and request invoices. Treat your taste buds in a few taps. Get info and add to your order now at isleofmancreamery.com/delivery. Or visit your app store to download the app now.
Get your garden ready for spring with Riley's. Seed potatoes to garden machinery. Get down to Cool Road, Braddon, for everything you need. And all your pet supplies and birdseed too. Leap into spring with Riley's Garden Centre.
March is National Bed Month, and to celebrate, we have another winning weekend here on Manx Radio. We've teamed up with Lifestyle Furniture to give you the chance to win £400 worth of Laura Ashley bedding. All you have to do is listen out across Saturday and Sunday for the winning question and text your answer to 166177 and we'll reveal the lucky winner on Monday afternoon. Lifestyle Furniture is celebrating throughout March with big bed month offers and competitions too. So make sure you follow them on social media to see the very latest. Celebrate National Bed Month with Lifestyle Furniture and Manx Radio, and you could be sleeping in style.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes before one. Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
How you doing?
Well, fine. Thank you for hanging on.
That's okay. I'm here to support the wind farms, off the island. And if you look at the recent by-election, maybe I'm talking up for the youth vote, I don't know, but if you look at that Hannah lady in Denton and Gorton, there seems to be a flood change over to renewable energy groups and the Green Party and things like that. I'm not sure if it'll transfer on the Isle of Man, but there seems to be more of an awakening.
We haven't heard much from the Green Party. I mean, they don't maintain a commentary on the new Moore Vannin wind farm regarding this. Obviously there are going to be a lot of brand new voters, a lot of 16-year-old voters who at the last election were aged 11. So times will change, Robert.
I think there's an awakening. I think we're looking at a split down the middle, if you like, between the two age groups of the older age group, the grumps, if you like. There's a lot of them on Manx Radio, including myself. But I think we've got reform and things like that coming through, and whether or not that will transfer on the island with this Isle of Man first or whatever it is, I don't know. But we're certainly an awakening, and I'm just here to support the wind farms. I don't know why, it's not going ahead faster.
It's going through a planning process at the moment, so we'll find out what happens at the back end of that. And obviously, Ørsted have presumably got the money ready to go.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm happy to see that go forward. And I believe that it's an energy that should be harnessed if it's available. you know, and it is available. So I think we should use it for what it is.
Despite what it's going to look like on the East Coast.
I don't care what it looks like, Andy. I mean, it just it's a means to an end. You know, it provides energy. It provides good energy for the Isle of Man, and that's the reality of it. Okay. I don't care what it looks like, to be honest with you.
All right. All right, Robert, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us.
All right, bye.
Cheers now. 20 to 1. Alan's on now. Hi, Alan.
Good afternoon there. I've got a story to relate to you, sir.
Okay.
It happened many, many years ago that I worked at a house down in Ballabeg. Now, the gentleman who had just moved over to the island, he was one of the highest, engineers or something in
Geothermal.
Canada.
Yeah.
Canada, you see. So anyway, we used to have a talk at about 10 o'clock every now and again about Manx politics. And one thing he brought up, he says, have you seen this in the paper, Alan? I said, what are you talking about? And he was saying there was a paragraph which stated that the Isle of Man had sold its rights around the Isle of Man to the English government. Now, I couldn't believe it at the time when he told me this, but he was quite insistent. Says, how the hell did they do that? You know, why did they do that? Apparently, it was during the time there when a lot of exploration was going off Ireland there in England type of thing. And this agreement was made up with the Manx MHKs, or the Manx government, where the Isle of Man had sold its rights around the Isle of Man to the English government. Now, I've been trying basically to find out a bit more on that, but because they restricted in 2011 any kind of new kind of, Freedom of Information Act, anything before that, you're not allowed to find out, or you cannot find out. Now, I'll be interested to know, has this been affecting the Isle of Man ever since? Let's look at Cobra. Or whatever. Cobra, is it? The ones who are trying to get the gas going and how they were totally blocked and other things. Is it true that the Isle of Man own its seabed around the Isle of Man?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, yes, we do. But I'll certainly check the legalities of that, Alan.
I wish you will, because it all went quiet after this article came out in the paper. And it was only a very small article, which is, the same what they usually do in the Isle of Man. They don't make such a big bahoo about it, but the Isle of Man had said it had signed over the rights of all its rights around the Isle of Man to the English government. So is Ørsted, are they an English company? Are they?
Oh, no, they're Danish.
They're Danish?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So I suppose the way politics are with the Danish and the English, the bedfellows, you would call them. I would like to know who really owns the mineral rights and everything around the Isle of Man.
Because okay.
This gentleman was so... He says, what the hell are they doing? He says, they've gone and sold their mining rights and every mineral rights around the Isle of Man to the English government.
Okay. All right, Alan, we'll find out for you. Thanks for calling today. As I mentioned, to the best of my knowledge, we do own the rights, the mineral rights, the drilling rights, and obviously the fishing rights around our coastline to the territorial limit, as it was. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm sure it's David North who was the politician who got that through.
Quayside Tyre and Service Centre, where alongside quality tyres and excellent servicing, you'll find a whole lot more besides. Choose Quayside Tyre and Service Centre for diagnostics, cam belt changes and aircon, along with laser wheel alignment and all your mechanical and electrical repairs. With courtesy cars available, excellent friendly service and competitive prices, visit Quayside Tyre and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate, and you'll soon be back on the road. Quayside!
Give your home a facelift with Manx Glass and Glazing. Whether choosing aluminium or UPVC in traditional or contemporary styles, you can be sure of excellent workmanship and guarantees. Members of Construction Isle of Man and family run for over 40 years, Manx Glass and Glazing are committed to the local community and they invest in future generations through their apprenticeship scheme. Visit the impressive showroom on Snugbridge Trading Estate. Trust Manx Glass and Glazing. Quality and style since 1986.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you, with a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations, and always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
Many people are struggling. You can help by volunteering or making a donation to Isle of Man Food Bank, whether it be food or essential items or financial support. Please call 646 999, brought to you by Descon Office Interiors.
Chain, there's no chain, the chain's jumped off the sprocket.
Test day action this weekend on the Jerby Airfield for the Andreas Racing Association's meeting. Under 16s get in free, adults are £3, there's full facilities, come and see us trackside.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week with daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion. We can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
13 minutes before one, former DOI Minister MHK Michelle Hayward is with us. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Can you clarify the matter?
On the previous caller who said I'd lie to Tim, well, yes, I can clarify the matter. I think what he's confusing, and it's a confusion that I think Mr. Morehouse has fallen into as well, is there are two sets of documents here. So there's the agreement for lease, which is what is in existence at the moment and what is signed and what is commercially confidential. And that has been agreed to be commercially confidential by the government's legal advice and by Ørsted's legal advice as well. So, you know, that's why that's not being shared. And agreement for leases for all of the wind farms, similar wind farms around the UK, are not public documents. They never are. So end of that one. The actual lease agreement, when it comes into force, which will be, you know, after all of the MEMA process has been through, after all the hearings have been through and there's been a decision there, then there will be an agreement for lease, a lease agreement, that will be signed. So at the moment, we've just got a promise that we will lease them the seabed if they get permission to build a wind farm there. And then once that permission's been gained, or if that permission's been gained, then we'll make an actual lease agreement with them. So the lease at that point will be a publicly available document.
OK. Do you think Mr. Morehouse knew what he was asking for?
I wouldn't like to presume to know the mind of Mr. Morehouse. I think it's a common thing with confusion. So at the moment, there's like a pre-agreement that says, OK, this is the area, and yes, we agree, if you get permission, that we will sort out a lease agreement with you. So that's the level of where we're at the moment. The actual lease agreement, once we get that far, if it gets that far, will be a document that will be public. And that's exactly the same as those documents are treated in the UK waters as well.
OK. So presumably some ministers have seen the confidential, but the OI minister, the treasurer, the chief minister will have seen this.
To my knowledge, so at the time where I stopped or where I've been answering questions about this, the Treasury Minister had requested the agreement for lease just because Treasury obviously need to work out what they're going to do in terms of any royalties or taxes that are imposed. And they, you know, wouldn't ordinarily have anything that covers that at the moment because we don't have a wind farm that's producing commercial electricity to worry about. So that's something that needs to be worked up. So I believe that's why Treasury requested the document. I hadn't seen the document when I became minister, but I was asked so many questions about it that I went down to, and asked to see it. And it is commercially confidential. Ministers see lots of confidential documents, though, so that's not unusual. And it's only confidential because of some of the rates that are set in there, and some of that information is commercially sensitive information. So in the same way as we keep other commercial agreements between the government and the party that the agreement's made with, that's the same with this one.
Okay. Michelle, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okey-dokey. All right. Thanks, Sam.
All right. Now it's 10 to 1 on Manx Radio with Patrick. And now, hi, Patrick.
Hi, Andy. It's a question of economics, I know, but they built a lovely power station at Pull Rose, and I was there for 28 years. Not one sign of any solar panels on it, and fantastic glass all the way on one side. What is the economics on solar panels? Is it not worth their while or something?
Well, everybody keeps asking this. The government's got lots of buildings. The NSC's a nice big building. As you say, the power station's a big building. If the government is keen to rent land off people and pay good money for land off people, people just wonder why the government don't do it themselves.
That's what I was thinking. It's, as you say, the glass area at the power station is a fantastic area. I mean, and the roof itself, it's perfect for the sunrise and almost goes around the peel. Unbelievable, really.
Mm, okay.
But as you say, I don't know the economics of solar power, but the Isle of Man were spending a fortune on a wind turbine, or possible wind turbine, which is going to cost a fortune for the next generation to take down. I can't understand it at all.
All right. Okay. All right. Patrick, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers. Now, 9 minutes before one. Well, obviously, Ørsted are going to pay for the offshore one. The onshore one would come under Manx Utilities, so that would come out of taxpayer funds. David's with us now, generating electricity when he's in his sleep.
Well, yes, I'm up to 31% of my battery. Just to tell Paddy, too, that PV panels do work on buildings, and really the government should be entering into it. As a matter of course, I don't know why they're waiting. Whether they've got any money to do stuff is another issue. But can I tell you, too, my time in government, too, we were out to the 12-mile limit, which we own. That's the Isle of Man government's
right
thing. We were entitled to the minerals as well. I remember being in DEFA once and having a big discussion regarding off the Point of Ayr there. There are big banks of gravel, which are like big depressions in the sea. They're full of gravel. And it was estimated, I think, at that time when I was there, there were millions of quids worth of minerals in value there under the sea. So that was ours as well. So it's Andy, the funny thing about this is, Ofsted, and I'm with Robert on this, I'm a supporter of the turbines. Even if the turbines are going to be smaller, I can live with that as well. On it, but we haven't had any real information, have we? When's the next meeting of Ofsted? I didn't go to the one yesterday because I wasn't aware of it.
The next meeting is
today.
Hang on a minute. There's one today. Marine infrastructure consent and matters relating to the land and rights at the COMIS. So today, tomorrow, and Friday, there are meetings there.
Okay, what time does that start? Is that on now or
I think it's on. They start at 10 a.m.
All right, that's fine, mate. But really, we need to make, it's like somebody said before there, our government needs to make a decision what are 5% or 10% of renewables that we can actually do and we're aware of. And the other thing about that geothermal, don't forget, the fellow's got the same name as me, who's a professor, and is from Danish or Norway, yeah, and stuff like that. Said, it's not going to work in the Isle of Man because we haven't got the right type of rock. And we need to get away from that, don't we?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay, all right.
See you, boy.
Good to hear from you. So, yes, today, tomorrow and Friday, there are meetings at the Comus Golf Club. 10 a.m. they start exploring issues. Today, marine infrastructure consent and matters relating to land and rights. Tomorrow, environmental impact assessment and protected species. Friday, shipping and navigation. And, of course, we'll have a reporter there just to find out what's what. Do you remember we talked about this 12-storey building on the bus station site, and somebody asked whether the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue got appliances that can reach 40 metres in height? It's Phil in Onken who asked that. Yes, Isle of Man Fire and Rescue Service does now have equipment capable of reaching approximately 40 metres in height. The service recently took delivery of a new high-reach aerial appliance. It's a Magirus. Magirus, isn't that an Austrian company? Anyway, a turntable ladder. It's got a 42-metre reach, which is designed for rescue and firefighting operations at increased building heights. Before this new appliance, the highest ladder that they got was around 32 metres. The upgrade for the Isle of Man Fire and Rescue to 42 metres gives the island's fire service added capability for taller structures, including buildings in the region of 10 to 12 stories, typically about 35 to 40 metres tall. The vehicle's base at the Douglas Fire Station will serve the whole island once crews complete their training on it. So we've got a new ladder, and it'll do that. No matter how many wind turbines we bring down, we have to bring down the cost of electricity. You can bet your bottom dollar, says Frank, we'll still have the highest fuel costs in the world. And Frank makes a good point, 29p. 29p is it, and at the bottom of all this, remember, is money. How much is it going to save us? How much is it going to cost us? What is it going to do for us? I think we can afford to be selfish on this matter, don't you? The question to be put to politicians, says Texter 656, is why we would want to put these turbines on our coastline. They're in a position to object to this, but they're not coming forward. The whole scheme should be shelved. There's no green advantage for the Isle of Man if all the energy is heading to the UK. But they are going to put an interconnector in, I think, from Preston to... Well, it was mooted, it was going to be Groudle, but we don't know who's going to pay for that, whether they pay for that or we pay for it. And the waiting list for interconnectors, I'll put it this way, it's not 6 months. Right, tomorrow we're going to be with Nick, the pharmacist. Remember, he's been in a couple of times. We'll be talking about your health, nothing specific. We won't do any clinical diagnosis, but Nick the pharmacist is on tomorrow. Thanks to Chris producing today. Have a good day. WINT.